Meditation for the Time of Retreat by St. John Baptist de La Salle. Second Meditation. The means that those responsible for the education of children must use to procure their salvation. 194.1. First point. Consider that it is a practice only too common for working people and the poor to allow their children to live on their own, roaming all over like vagabonds, as long as they are unable to put them to some work. These parents have no concern to send their children to school because their poverty does not allow them to pay teachers, or else, obliged as they are to look for work outside the home, they have to abandon their children to fend for themselves. The results of this condition are regrettable. For these poor children, accustomed to lead an idle life for many years, have great difficulty adjusting when it comes time for them to go to work. Furthermore, through association with bad companions, they learn to commit many sins that are very difficult to stop later on because of the persistent bad habits they have contracted over such a long time. God has had the goodness to remedy so great a misfortune by the establishment of the Christian schools, where the teaching is offered free of charge and entirely for the glory of God, where the children are kept all day, learn reading, writing, and their religion, and are always busy, so that when their parents want them to go to work, they are prepared for employment. Thank God, who has had the goodness to employ you to procure such an important advantage for children. Be faithful and exact to do this without any payment, so that you can say with St. Paul, "The source of my consolation is to announce the gospel free of charge, without having it cost anything to those who hear me." 194.2, second point. It is not enough that children remain in school for most of the day and be kept busy. Those who have dedicated themselves to instruct them must devote themselves especially to bring them up in the Christian spirit, which gives children the wisdom of God, which none of the princes of this world has known. It is completely opposed to the spirit and wisdom of the world, for which you must inspire children with a great horror, because it serves as a cloak for sin. Children cannot be too much separated from such a great evil, for this alone can make them displeasing to God. Let this be your primary concern, then, and the first effect of your vigilance in your work: to be ever attentive to your students, to forestall any action that is bad, or even the least bit improper. Help them avoid anything that has the slightest appearance of sin. It is also most important that your vigilance over your students serves to make them be self-controlled and reserved in church and at the exercises of piety that are performed in school. For piety is useful in every way, and it gives a great facility for avoiding sin and for practicing other acts of virtue, because of the great number of graces it brings to those who have it. Do you act in this way with your students? Adopt these practices in the future if you have not been faithful enough in the past. 194.3, third point. To bring the children whom you instruct to take on the Christian spirit, you must teach them the practical truths of faith in Jesus Christ and the maxims of the Holy Gospel with at least as much care as you teach the truths that are purely theoretical. It is true that a number of doctrines are absolutely necessary for us to know in order to be saved, but what would it serve to know them if we did not take the trouble to practice the good to which we are bound? Faith, St. James says, without good works is dead. St. Paul also says, "If I knew all the mysteries and had full knowledge and all the faith, such that I move mountains from one place to another, but have not charity, that is, sanctifying grace, I am nothing." Is your main care, then, to instruct your disciples in the maxims of the Holy Gospel and the practice of the Christian virtues? Have you anything more at heart than helping them find their happiness in these practices? Do you regard the good you are trying to achieve in them as the foundation of all the good they will practice for the rest of their life? The habits of virtue that are cultivated during youth encounter less resistance in corrupt nature and form the deepest roots in the hearts of those in whom they have been formed. If you want the instructions you give to those whom you have to instruct to be effective in drawing them to the practice of good, you must practice these truths. You must be full of zeal, so that your students may be able to receive a share in the grace that is in you for doing good, and your zeal may draw down on you the Spirit of God to inspire your students in the same way. Commentary on the Second Meditation. The means that those responsible for the education of children must use to procure their salvation. 194.1, the first point. The lack of care on the part of the parents for their children is not really completely the fault of the parents, who may themselves need to look for work and may lack the means to provide education for their children. So the lack of care on the part of the parents for their children during the day is the necessary result of the challenging and harsh poverty of the day. As De La Salle writes, these parents have no concern to send their children to school because their poverty does not allow them to pay teachers, or else, obliged as they are to look for work outside the home, they have to abandon their children to fend for themselves. The biggest problem for De La Salle, then, is the reality that the tragic circumstances of the parents lead to the same tragic outcome for their children. Without oversight, without education, the children will end up unable to be employed, and the bad habits they obtain will be very difficult to overcome. And so, the high providence of God in establishing the Christian schools is highlighted again. After outlining the problem, sad and tragic, there is the reminder that God is now using the brothers to provide the gift of knowledge and the oversight of the children that will lead them in much better directions. An interesting observation about the early ministry of the brothers is the requirement that the brothers not charge for their teaching. Be faithful and exact to do this without any payment, so that you can say with St. Paul, "The source of my consolation is to announce the gospel free of charge, without having it cost anything to those who hear me." 194.2, the second point. It is not enough that children remain in school for most of the day and be kept busy. Those who have dedicated themselves to instruct them must devote themselves especially to bring them up in the Christian spirit, which gives children the wisdom of God, which none of the princes of this world has known. So for De La Salle, the brothers are not simply responsible for imparting knowledge, but more importantly, they are to impart wisdom. Content alone is not enough if it does not lead to the acceptance of the gift of salvation. This task of imparting wisdom is the primary task of the brothers for De La Salle. Quote, "Let this be your primary concern, then, and the first effect of your vigilance in your work, to be ever attentive to your students to forestall any action that is bad or even the least bit improper. Help them avoid anything that has the slightest appearance of sin. It is also most important that your vigilance over your students serves to make them be self-controlled and reserved in church and at the exercises of piety that are performed in school. For piety is useful in every way, and it gives a great facility for avoiding sin and for practicing other acts of virtue because of the great number of graces it brings to those who have it." Moreover, De La Salle recognizes the importance of the brothers modeling this behavior. It is important to note that the brothers themselves, in de La Salle's time, might also be the type that struggled to live the gospel and the life of faith authentically. This serves as a good reminder for us today. 194.3, the third point. For de La Salle, this concern for the acceptance of faith is the primary and main task of the brothers, and by extension, us today. He cites St. James, who says, "Faith without works is dead." He cites St. Paul, who says, "If I knew all the mysteries and had full knowledge and all the faith, such that I move mountains from one place to another, but have not charity, that is sanctifying grace, I am nothing." And so de La Salle suggests a threefold ministry of the brothers: to instruct in the gospel, to help to live the gospel, and to understand the good they teach as the foundation of the good the children will accept. This is a truth that must not only be expressed in word, but made real in deed. Questions to ponder. What are the ways in which the students you serve or the people to whom you minister lack the appropriate means to experience salvation? What hardships do they face? In what specific ways are instilling the faith and developing virtues the primary concern of what you do? Since modeling this behavior is important, how is it you see your life as an authentic witness of zeal?